Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thanks so much for joining us today. Today, I don't think that our topic is probably any surprise. This week, our world has been grappling with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA. Everyone has been so shaken by this. We see it all over America. It's been so divisive. People are so hurt by his death. It is really a generational defining event. And then we see many people who have been so callous in celebrating his death. And that is absolutely tragic at how people's hearts are being exposed to so much evil during this time. Charlie was no doubt polarizing as he mixed Christianity with politics. I didn't agree with everything that he said because he's not Jesus, right? So no one is perfect. I'm not going to go into anything that I disagree with him on because I don't think that's appropriate for this time. In the time of his untimely death, we should celebrate him and who he was and the great things that he did for God's kingdom. We should walk along his wife and his two kids and his family as they mourn their tragic loss. That is the appropriate response. But we see people everywhere celebrating his death, and it's absolutely evil. We should decry the death of any innocent person. In the last couple of weeks, we've been hit so hard in our country. There was the Minneapolis school shooting. There was the school shooting in Denver last week, the same day that Charlie was shot. There's a Ukrainian refugee who was stabbed to death on the subway in Charlotte, North Carolina. These are all such tragic stories that weigh heavily on our hearts and in our culture. The world is a heavy place right now. I had a mom a couple days ago on a Zoom call through tears tell me that it's a hard week to be a human. And she is so correct. It is a hard week to be a human. But before I talk about how we should respond as Christians, I want to share one of the many things that Charlie was right on. He spoke about very divisive issues and he debated people on them and he invited them to the microphone to talk. And he got so many things right. And so I want to show this clip.
I've seen this one YouTube thumbnail that says, Charlie Kirk believes that TikTok is turning children trans. Do you agree with the statement?
It is helping turn kids trans, yeah. TikTok is playing a role in making them think that they might have gender identification issues. This is Chloe Cole. She's a detransitioner.
In my experience, I learned about transgenderism through the internet at roughly about the age of 11 or 12. And I mean, it captivated me. I had body image issues and it felt like I found the explanation for as to why I felt so different from the women around me.
Social media in general led you to believe the wrong idea. And it also, and that in turn, what made you go down a path that maybe wasn't right for you.
I mean, it's beyond not right for me. This has left permanent effects on my body. I might not be able to have children. I don't have my breasts anymore. I have complications from the puberty blockers, the testosterone, and the surgery.
That's
3 years after I've stopped taking all of them.
I'm very suspicious about, but I understand.
Are you calling her a liar?
No, but I am saying that I'm pretty sure a mastectomy, that's not in the trans guidelines of how people should transition.
Oh, it is.
No, it's 100%.
It's in the WPATH guidelines.
Look at WPATH guidelines that came out last
They've been lowering the age guidelines for years.
I'd like to say that you're wrong about about trans people being indoctrinated.
So, about my case being a fringe case, I mean, I've met hundreds of other detransitioners, some even younger than I was, and have come out of it with trauma that they're left with for life. Sterile, without parts of their bodies.
All right. So Charlie had all kinds of these debates on campuses about these very same issues, homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism. And in this case, he was arguing that TikTok absolutely does influence kids to become transgender. And he was absolutely right. Social media is wreaking havoc on Gen Z. And I have to walk alongside parents whose kids have been captivated and held captive by this ideology that they first found on TikTok. Now, the ideology is coming from people who use TikTok as a platform. And you know, there's many other social media sites that have been used and are currently being used. But these sites are wreaking havoc on our kids, and they're lying, and they're presenting this ideology to kids that this is your way out. This is the way out from your distress. And it is based on a lie. and it's having tragic consequences. And so I want to honor Charlie for the way that he stood up for truth in these areas. And he did it respectfully. He was mentally sharp. I don't debate people in public like he does because I'm not as mentally sharp as he is. I don't have the capacity and the ability to do it like he did. And so I just don't. I try to understand what my giftings are and what they aren't. And he was incredibly, incredibly gifted. And he became one of the largest influencers in Gen Z. And he was right in so many things that he was exposing as evil. And it's really remarkable how so many in Gen Z are seeing that he was right. Gen Z is desperate to know what is real and what is fake. And that is why they gravitated towards Charlie. And he became one of the greatest influences of their generation. He boldly stood for truth and for the sanctity of human life. And he didn't just do it as a keyboard warrior or behind the camera as I'm doing right now. And so many, you know, YouTube people do. He stood before people and he had conversations with them. He engaged with them face to face. He pleaded with them. He reasoned with them. He made a case for why the truth is the truth. Gen Z is tired of being lied to. They're tired of being told that you have to choose your gender and recreate yourself on a daily basis based on the feelings that you have. They've grown up with an identity and worldview that is built on shifting sand. They want some stability. They want the truth. They are widely influenced by Charlie because he understood that the truth never changes, that their identity and their purpose and their value comes from the God who created them, that they don't have to recreate themselves on a daily basis. And that is what Gen Z is longing for. And that's one of the reasons why he had so much influence on that generation. Gen Z wants answers to deep questions. The world wants answers to deep questions, and the only right answer is Jesus. So I just have a few pieces of encouragement on how we can be a part of that mission that is so important to our world right now. The first is this: be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Become an apologist. Like, it doesn't have to be professional, but you should know scripture. You should know how to reason for God, how to share the hope that you have in the gospel, and do it face to face with people. You don't need to wear a MAGA hat. I certainly won't be. You don't need to be an apologist for Trump, for Charlie, for the Republican Party. Be an apologist for Jesus. Make the message the gospel, right? That is the message that people are yearning for. Second is this: join the fight against evil. Standing up for the truth and against these evil ideologies, it's costly. It costs Charlie his life. Obedience to Jesus is costly. I stand in front of people and expose evil of homosexuality and transgenderism. It can be costly. I'm no Charlie Kirk, and you know, I'm not trying to play victim here whatsoever. But in my ministry, I met with hostility. I've faced death threats on college campuses. It's cost me relationships with family members, with friends. It is a heavy burden for my family. It is costly, but it is worth it. And we need more people to join us in that mission. I know way too many people in the medical field who aren't standing up against the evil of gender transitions that their employers are doing. There are people involved in public schools sending your kids and working there, even though they're promoting evil of abortion, homosexuality, and gender transitions. And so we need people to stand up to the truth. Did you know that there's other people every day around the world who are being martyred because they're standing up for Jesus? Like, people are regularly losing their life because of their faith. Following Jesus is costly. So I want to challenge you to ask, what cost are you willing to pay? The third is this: love your neighbor. People are looking for answers to their questions. People are hurting because of this incident and because of a million other painful circumstances in their lives. There are many that are fatherless. I've been seeing all these new articles and all the discussion on social media about Charlie Kirk. My heart breaks for his wife, for his kids. There's been so many sentiments of that. It's tragic. that, no, she's now a widow and his kids are growing up fatherless. And we should care about that. We should pray for them. But it also got me thinking about how there are so many fatherless kids in every neighborhood. And maybe their fathers weren't famous. Maybe their fathers weren't assassinated. But for the kid down the street who lost his mommy or his daddy because of an accident, because of divorce, because of disease, because of abandonment, or whatever the reason, their circumstances are just as painful and hard and tragic. So if you feel helpless, and if you all of a sudden have a heart for widows and fatherless kids, go and love the people in your neighborhood. And by the way, we should also love our enemies. The world is full of evil, and sometimes love means speaking out. It means serving those you don't agree with. Maybe your neighbor is one of those who is labeled as a leftist. Go love them and share gospel hope with them. Serve them. Take care of their kids. Be a good neighbor and love your enemy and take care of the orphan, the widow, the fatherless, regardless of who they may be. Lastly is this. Raise your kids in a godly house. Joshua 24:15 says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We should do everything within our control and power to raise our kids in a godly house. And we do that with the help of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in our life. We surrender our households to Him. And that doesn't mean that it's a guarantee that our kids will come to know Jesus and to love Jesus, but it definitely increases the chances, and it is our obligation and responsibility to raise our kids in a godly home where we cultivate their relationship with Jesus. We train them up in the ways of the Lord. And again, that's not a promise, but it is a principle that God is calling us to. So the shooter, Tyler Robinson, his family didn't do that. They raised Tyler as part of a godless home and rejected Jesus. They were members of a cult, but they are being celebrated as conservatives who were registered Republicans. And don't get me wrong, my heart breaks for them, right? They're possibly going to be losing their son to the death penalty. We should pray for them. We should mourn. We should celebrate that they did the right thing by turning him in. That took a lot of boldness and courage, and I admire them for that. But if anything makes the case that conservative does not equal Christian, this is it. We should pray for them. We should pray for our own kids to grow up to love Jesus, not just to be conservatives or Republicans. If the former leads to the latter, then that's great. I'm a Republican, and I'm very conservative in my politics, and that outflows because of the values that I have because of my faith. But it's grounded in my faith. It's because of Jesus. But currently, without bowing their knee to Christ, Tyler Robinson and his parents are headed to the same eternal hell. That reality should be heavy for us. What a travesty to raise your kids to be conservative, but completely miss the gospel. I beg of you and plead with you, do not make that mistake. So let me just end with this. The world is hurting. Let's love them. Let's have answers for the hope that we have. Let's love our enemies. Let's evaluate, how are we engaging with the world? How are we providing answers? How are we standing up against evil? And are the things we're doing actually helpful? Are we doing more than just being keyboard warriors? Because so many times I think that Christians think that they're standing up against evil by just typing out comments against people. And that's the mission that they're on. But no, Jesus called us to go love our neighbor, to meet people face to face. He did that with a woman at the well. He engaged with her. He asked her questions. He had compassion for her. And then he gave her the message of the gospel, hope in a savior. That's what Jesus is calling us to. You know, I think that in the last couple of years, Charlie Kirk really matured in his faith a lot, and he was making his platform more and more about Jesus. I hope and pray that people don't worship him, that people don't idolize after him, but that they understand that anything good in him came from Jesus. I think that's what he would want us to know. And we shouldn't worship the messenger. We should take the message and worship the creator who gave us the good news of the gospel, not worship the messenger, one of which who is Charlie. All right. Well, rest in peace, Charlie. I have no doubt I will see you in heaven someday. And we pray that more and more of the world are in heaven worshiping with us because of your influence, because of my influence. And for our listeners today, I pray that you can have an influence to love your neighbor, proclaim the good news of the gospel, and surrender everything to a Lord who knows us and loves us and created us and wants your good for your life. All right. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Make sure you like this video. I pray that it was encouraging to you. Share with your friends. If you're in a place to make a donation to the ministry, we really appreciate that too. All right. Have a good week. Bye.